This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is. It is Carlin in for Han today at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN over on Twitter at Bart and Han and on Instagram at Bart and Han as well. What is up, Bartholomew Montavious Anthony Scott?
What it do? We're finally here. The start of live sports. And I mean, I tell you what, I was excited talking to seeing Bobo yesterday. Today we get to see the Nationals and the Yankees. The start to the championship. I'm excited, Chris. This is a day that we've been waiting for. We weren't sure that it actually was going to come. I know a lot of reporters, a lot of experts never thought we would get back to live sports. We don't know how long it's going to last, but it can be a supernova. I'm excited that we have live sports and something to talk about. So tired of talking about stuff that happened 20, 30 years ago and predicting. Now we're going to be able to actually break down who sucks and who doesn't suck. And that's as close as a normal we can get.
Well, as far as we can tell, who doesn't suck is the Yankees. And they're opening up down in D.C. tonight, weather permitting. And, of course, I know everybody in the last 24 hours has said this, but the most 2020 thing would be for that game to get rained out tonight or a massive rain delay that lasts until about 2 o'clock in the morning. That would be the worst thing that would possibly
Let me tell you something. I don't care what time they have to play this game. I don't care if people go to sleep, wake up, and mistake it for the Korean Baseball League. We gonna see a game tonight. I can care less what time, what hour. If I can sit up and fall asleep four times and wait for Fight Island to air its final main event, I can wait to 12, 1 o'clock in the morning to see if Giancarlo Stanton can have a Yankee moment or if he's going to be back or not or can they stay healthy or Gerrit Cole versus Scherzer. I want to see it. I need to see it. I have to see it, and I will wait as long as I have to, Chris. But if they tell me that this game is postponed to tomorrow, I'm pulling up.
Look,
Han,
I just don't want to – we all just want to see it, and it may be tricky tonight. But more than anything, as much as I try to dig deep and look for some secret sauce or some reason to, you know, look at the Yankees and find some other thing that could hold them up, there's really only one thing that can hold them up, and that is health. I mean, we all know this is win the World Series or bust for the Yankees at this point. But when you look at the team, that's truly the only question that you really have. When you start talking about whether or not Mike Ford needs to get more at-bats because they need another lefty in the lineup, but you look top to bottom what the lineup is when it's healthy, I mean, you know you're going to score a ton of runs. That you went out and took care of your number one priority in the offseason, which was to get a number one pitcher. But Bart, I have searched and searched and searched and searched. And other than looking at guys to be their normal, consistent selves who are consistent players, the guys like Gleyber Torres, the health of Hicks, Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, really the last three is what it boils down to, because you can't expect what happened last year to happen again this year from two fronts. Number one, it can't possibly be as bad as it was with all of the injuries that they had. Or number two, if it is that bad, Bart, there's no way you're going to be able to dig out of that hole quickly in a 60-game season.
No, absolutely. There's no such thing as it's no time to panic that the season's just started. You know, you're having team meetings, like I've been saying over and over again. You're having team meetings with three-game losing streaks. I mean, you can't get off to a bad start because you don't know how well your health of your team is going to be. So you have to get out to a fast start. But I would say this, right? I'm so happy that they finally got their white whale, that they were able to get, you know, Gerrit Cole, and now they feel like they have their ace, even though Severino was supposed to be the ace, Tanaka was supposed to be an ace, and, you know, last year going out and get the big maple. But for me, it's been about the bats going cold in the postseason. And it's about what I saw was I saw a team that looked like they were playing fundamentally sound. It wasn't just trying to be the baby bombers, but they were trying to get guys on be effective like that. I think when you add a guy like Andujar to the lineup, you add a guy like Gleyber Torres, these are all contact hitters as well. We talk about Andujar maybe putting on a little bit more weight, and now those doubles may be home runs, especially in Yankee Stadium. I need guys that can get on base, and I need to be able to manufacture runs, because we know the cream rises to the top in the postseason, and I don't care who you're playing, if you have to go against the Nationals, they got a bunch of aces, so hits and being able to be able to situationally hit in high leverage situations and not just swinging, but trying to get on base to be able to manufacture runs the old-fashioned way is going to be the key. And the Yankees always say that, you know, they're about getting on base and doing the right things, choking up on the bat, whatever you want to say, but then they always revert back to who they are. And we saw that in the second exhibition game against the Mets, that they went out and they had five home runs. That's great. But what happens when you're going against aces and you have to manufacture runs and get on base and be responsible at the plate? Not for yourself, but for the man behind you and having that person bat you in. That's what remains to be seen from the Yankees in my standpoint, because we know that, you know, when you go against these great pitching staffs, that it may come down to one or two opportunities with runners in scoring position. And have they learned their lesson and be able to move guys over and be able to manufacture runs in the playoffs is the key to me, Chris.
Yeah, and look, you have guys that do look in the mirror. Aaron Judge wants to be this incredible leader. And you hear the sound from him earlier in the week talking about not wanting guys to forget what that was like last year. You're seeing Judge wanting to step into the role and really being Jeter if he can. In fact, I'm going to play this for you. I just want you to think about this for a second and how he kind of reverts it in the middle. And I got this cut that I used on our new podcast, Savages in the Box, that debuted this morning.
Say it again. Say it again.
Savages in the Box.
That's right. What I'm talking about. Savage in the Box. Mm-hmm. Download it. Subscribe to it. Baby Buddha spitting hot fire.
Every day on the Yankees Monday through Friday. But listen to this sound from Judge and his take on, you could just hear it in his voice, how he's trying to be Jeter.
At the end of last year after the game, spoke to the team and just,
if I can get it to play.
At the end of last year after the game, spoke to the team and just said, hey, guys, don't forget this feeling. Don't forget this emptiness, this you're mad. We're thinking about what we could have done different, this and that, what we could have done, what I could have done. You know, that's the biggest thing, as I go back to missed opportunities I had. But you just use it as fuel. I try to tell the guys, use this as fuel. Remember that. You don't want this feeling again.
I mean, look, you don't want that feeling again, and you hear him talk about, I look at things that I did. What can I do differently this year? How can I be better? Let's call it what it is. To your point, Judge has to be better in these clutch situations. If you go and you look at the numbers, he and Stanton are very similar over the last couple of years when it comes to how productive they have been in clutch situations, and that's a problem. And, you know, that leads us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Bart, if he's not on the field, if Stanton's not on the field consistently, if these guys aren't out there and consistently producing, I think it presents a little bit bigger of a problem than it has in years past.
Here's the good news. Good news is the season is short. Here's the bad news. If Judge has one of these typical injuries that he's had in the last couple of years, he doesn't have the time to recover, and the team may not recover. Now, I know they've had people step up, but we can't continually hope that he's going to be the one to step up, because I will argue that when he's missed that time, the people that were replacing him actually filled in admirably. But when he came back, he had to get it back in the rhythm. You don't got time to get in the rhythm in a shortened season like this. You don't have time for him to get back and be able to see the ball great. We don't have time for him to really figure out his strike zone and get his feel to be able to see pitches. We don't have time for any of that. We don't have time for Stanton. If Stanton gets hurt, we don't have time to just throw him back in so that he can get right. Because with 60 games, it can go either way. Now, it's no home field advantage, but the Yankees have advantage because they have the short porch and they have the opportunity to have guys, multiple guys, that can put it out of the park. But if you're not healthy and Judge gets one of those injuries like he's gotten over the last couple of years, what about his availability for the postseason? That's what makes it so scary. And, you know, guys got to step up. And then you start to ask yourself, this is a huge year for Aaron Judge because we want to call him Mr. Jeter, but where's his Jeter moment? You can say whatever you want. Yeah, great postseason. Maybe one of the most talented people in baseball. Great outfielder, a unicorn, so to speak. 6'8", mobile, agile. I mean, you can try and take an extra base on him. We've seen that cannon. Guys thinking that it's a clear double and him throwing him out. But when is he going to take the reins and become Jeter as far as the postseason performance? Because I would argue that to me, the face in the future of this organization or the Yankees organization is Gleyber Torres. And we've seen him. Listen, in all the big moments that we've seen, in all the big at-bats, you know, even if you want to talk about when they got into it before Chapman, you know, gave up the big home run. If you want to talk about all those moments, who was the guy that you were relying on? It was DJ LeMahieu and it was Gleyber Torres. Those were the guys that came with the big hits. Right, so when I think about, you know, who's the guy that have performed in the postseason, I would argue that Gleyber Torres has performed better than Aaron Judge, and I would say that I'm excited to see Gleyber moved up in that batting order. They messed around with him, had him at the bottom of the lineup. He deserves to be right up there by in third or fourth or fifth batting, you know, at that time because he's just that. I mean, this guy to me is way more special than Aaron Judge. He's able to adapt so quickly. When you see pitchers get him out early in the game, he's able to adjust and adapt. To me, when I see my eyes, I see Judge as the special guy. But I think sometimes we overlook the guy that just looks normal, right? We see that down in Houston with Altuve. He ain't supposed to be the star. But the star is the star. And the star got nothing to do with stature. It got to do with that clutch it gene. And I see it all over Gleyber Torres. And I think that Aaron Judge, respectfully, is going to get the mantle as being the leader right now. But, man, if Gleyber Torres ain't coming for that spot, he better step it up real quick because people are going to start to say, hey, Gleyber, what do we need to do? Hey, Gleyber, lead us. Especially if Judge isn't available this year and he doesn't show up in the postseason big time.
And then you shift over to the idea that they have a massive advantage from a pitching staff standpoint. Now, this is something that David Cohn was on a few weeks ago and was talking about. The idea that it's not just about your top 12, 13, 14 guys, but really your top 20 guys in your organization that in a short season like this, when you have pitchers who are not necessarily, besides Cole, who apparently go 100 pitches, that's how well he's kept himself up during this whole time. Besides him, you're going to have guys going 3 and 4 innings, and you're going to have incredible depth, not just in the rotation, but guys that can do both things. And when you look at the pool that the Yankees are going to be dealing with, I think that's where this massive advantage is going to come from, because you look at guys like Loaisiga and Sessa, and I know he's not always been the biggest fan favorite, but the guy can do different things. He can come out of the pen. He can start for you. You look at Garcia, Jonathan Holder, Montgomery, King, Schmidt, these are all guys that through the course of these 2 months, they're going to be calling on to not only keep others fresh, but also get big outs where every game means literally three times what a normal game would mean.
And that's what's so exciting. I think this could be something that baseball has kind of tripped them to, having a shortened season, but it's going to raise the excitement level because people have to pay attention. You can say, okay, well, it's a 160 game, whatever. I'm not paying attention. You know, this game doesn't mean much. Series mean a lot. It's going to mean a lot. And I don't know how important home field advantage is going to be. But when you think about the fact that you're able to get off to a fast start and somebody gets hot, that momentum can carry. See, usually when teams get hot, eventually they come back to earth. Somebody can be hot, get hot at the right time, and carry this all the way into the postseason. We saw the Nationals get hot after barely making the playoffs. You know, so if somebody gets hot and their pitchers get hot and their bats get hot, you know, it could be an upset. And, you know, we know or we assume and think that, you know, that the Yankees are on a collision course. And if you go through, and that collision course is with the Dodgers. And if you had to ask yourself, who do you trust or who has the better stars, you may lean towards the Dodgers. So, I mean, it's great if the Yankees take the next step, and the next step would be getting to the World Series. But it not only would be a disappointment to them, it would be a disappointment to us as well, even though it was probably signal success and progress. This is their window. This is their time. And that excuse that they had was that they didn't have an ace. They didn't have a guy. They didn't have a Verlander. They didn't have a Scherzer. They didn't have a Kershaw. They didn't have that guy that you put out there. You could almost scratch a victory. They have him now.
We're discussing the Yankees part of it. But, Bart, I wonder if by the time we actually get around to first pitch tonight, if it actually could become harder than it was before to the Yankees to go and win the World Series, because John Heyman late yesterday tweeted that the Baseball Players Association and Major League Baseball was still actively discussing the idea of expanding the playoffs, not from 10 to 14 teams, as they had talked about all along, but 10 to 16 teams. And having that many teams, 8 in each league, make the playoffs, which, all right, if you have the best record in the league, you're probably not going to get hurt that much, but we'd have to see how this would work out, because all of a sudden it might become a lot harder to plod through all these teams to try to make it to the World Series.
So are they pulling a Zion? Are they trying to get DeGrom in the playoffs? Is this what baseball is doing? They're trying to make it so easy to get the playoffs.
As soon as
the
Stroman injury came up, they said, we got to figure out a way to get the Mets in. I don't think that's what happened.
I mean, you know, whenever you add anybody to the tournament, we always get every once in a while these Cinderella type of stories where we have a lower seed beat a higher seed. You know, so, I mean, I think as much baseball can get in, I think baseball wants to get as much of that revenue back. And maybe this changes the deals that they can do. And this allows really local markets, smaller markets to stay engaged a little longer, because you realistically think that you have a greater chance of being able to have opportunity to be in the postseason. So it allows the country to stay more engaged, because understand that baseball is going to be competing against, you know, the hockey playoffs, the NHL playoffs. It's going to be competing maybe with the start, with the start of football. And then, of course, the basketball playoffs. So I think that they're really probably trying to give themselves as many options to have meaningful games. I think it's a blessing that they're only going with 60 games, because it's going to allow them at a time where they wouldn't have to compete with these sports to be able to have meaningful opportunities to engage people that are casual and lifelong baseball fans.
Now, look, I don't know what the structure of that would look like yet. We had it before when they were talking about 14 teams, where the team in the league with the number one overall seed based on their record and winning the division would actually still be in that position if they automatically move forward to the division series. But they're the only team that does that. Now, I don't know how it would play out here. We have to wait and see if it actually happens. They have to agree on it before first pitch tonight. So we'll see how that plays out.
But before first pitch tonight.
Before first pitch. 25 hours.
Is this like 24? What's the show with 24 with the clock, the whole
24.
Series.
That's the name of the show.
But what's the guy's name?
Jack Bauer.
No, but it was like Sutton. What's his real name?
Sutherland?
Yeah, Keith Sutherland. Like, is Keith Sutherland going to be trying to work his way like through like the office building to get up to the top floor to like give and deliver the vote?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like. I was doing a show on ESPN National yesterday, and my partner, Katie George, said, wait a second. We don't have a place for the Blue Jays to actually play yet, but we're going to expand the playoffs. Okay. With less than 24 hours to go before the season starts. I'll tell you what. It is
crazy. That's crazy, too. That's baseball. And listen, sometimes crazy gets you attention. Yeah. And I think baseball is kind of like helter-skelter right now. It's all over the place, but it's exciting because it's always something happening. It's always a deadline. And I think baseball may like this, and I think they may try and take some of this energy, man. I don't know if they ever want to give it, because what reason why baseball gets these huge TV contracts is just it's programming. It's filling, right? You're filling programming during the summertime when there's really not much going on, when you really may not have a lot of people actually indoors watching television, but it's still filling. In programs, but you know, it's more exciting with less games. The reason why we tune in and we're so addicted to football is the fact that every game means so much. And if you can shrink the season down, maybe right from to like 120 games, something like that, I think it may be able to engage, because now it's like people start paying attention more attentively, and you know, races get turned up faster because you know you don't have those extra 40 games or 40 plus games, whatever, you know what I mean, to really figure it out. And then adding some trade deadlines where it's always action going on. I think baseball may get a byproduct of being more exciting of a product by happenstance because of the pandemic.
Oh, but you can see maybe they're getting a little boost out of it. But I also look at it from the standpoint that if you're like a team that is in the middle, now you're probably more likely to go out and try to do something a little bit nuttier if you think it's wide open, right? At the the deadline for the trades is a month away. I mean, listen, there'd be a lot more interest there too. That could be a wild scene from teams that are out of it quickly and trying to move on, and other teams that are going to give themselves a chance to try to stay alive. Now, I want to shift over to Stroman and the Mets for a second.
Yeah, what did I say yesterday? And listen, Chris, you're the one who got me locked into this be a Mets fan crap.
Wait, right? Don't look at me. I warned you at the beginning.
But you told me, you made me feel like I'd be a sucker if I just jumped on a winning bandwagon with all the young baby bombers. You remember this when the book first came out? We were reading the book and we were like, man, they're going to win all these games and championships. I didn't want to seem like a bandwagon dude that's just going to jump on like anybody that's a Golden State fan right now or a Patriots fan for the last 5 years. So, of course, I went with the underdog. I didn't realize they were this under. You know what I mean? I just saw them do something in 2015, and you told me. You said, Bart, when you hear something like, you know, day-to-day, that means surgery pending. And yesterday on this show, I said I heard it was just a strained calf by Rojas, and today, now it's a tear.
But listen, Marcus tweeted out earlier today.
Yeah,
you ready to hear what he had to say about it?
Amputation tomorrow.
Super minor setback. Not even slightly worried. More time-consuming than anything. Threw a 55-pitch bullpen on Monday and felt great. Only feel it when jogging and sprinting. However, must be able to run at full speed when competing. Thank you all for the prayers and well wishes. All right, couple of things.
Really?
Number one, it's a 60-game season, so a super minor setback that's time-consuming ends the year for you.
Right. I mean, what do you got, 12 starts maybe? So now he's down to 8, 10?
At best, you hope.
So now we got to call Seth Lugo up. Lugo got to come up and give us 4.
I'll tell you, it doesn't even sound like they want to do that. It doesn't even sound like they want to stretch him out. It's more likely that they want to play. They want to put Corey Oswalt in that spot because they're too afraid to weaken the bullpen.
Oh, God.
I mean, Corey Oswalt is, you know. Let's call it what it is. It's batting practice. I mean, that's really what it is. And you know, you could put all those guys together, Corey Oswalt, Jacob Rehm. They're all the same guy. They're all the same guy shuttling back and forth from the utility camp or whatever they're calling it right now to the team. They're just guys that they don't add that depth. They just add a body more
quality,
than anything.
Quality
else.
Depth. They're glorified cones. So just say what it is. They're glorified cones. And if you do that, it's going to mess up the rotation. It's going to force us to have to depend, because it's trickle down economics, right? Trickle down sports. It's going to trickle down to Familia. And the last person I want to have to depend on is Familia coming in and having some type of substantial role, trying to get somebody, a bridge guy from 6th to 7th inning before you go to Betances. And oh, my God. We don't even know. I wasn't confident. I don't know how you felt the other day, but I wasn't ultra confident in looking at what Diaz was doing. Like, yeah, the stuff was there and the speed was there, but he still wasn't getting guys out.
No, I wasn't confident. I'm not confident in Diaz at all.
So he still looks shaky there, right? I love what Betances looked like. It was great, right? But who the hell is the closer? Who's the closer?
I think it's still Diaz getting the first crack at it, but you know that the leash is going to be very short considering how short the season is. That's going to be the case for everybody. You can't afford to let a guy work it out.
Yeah.
Not at all, especially with Diaz at this point. And that trade could continue to look worse and worse by the day. 800-919-3776. We're going to get your calls in here very shortly. So load them up on the baseball with the Yankees and the biggest obstacles that they have. And the Mets now with the Stroman injury and part the Gesellman injury, too. I mean, depth gone. Shot.
Already. and it's the thing, right? We'll see based on how this sell of the team goes.
You know,
but
what
the
this
Mets,
is?
The Mets may be one of those teams that's stuck in the middle. And they have to decide, are they going for it or are they not? And what are they willing to do? And I think that could be a bad thing because it could be that false, you know, like last year, you know, what they did in the second half of the season. I mean, nobody was playing. Nobody, everybody, you know, the teams were shuffling. I never want to hear what somebody did at the end of the season when, you know, all bets were off and you had teams that knew their season was over with. When things matter. And they had that little run, and we thought it was all good. And then they got brought back to reality. So, listen, this is a big year for Brody. Because we're going to have a new owner. He better be saying, hey, if Rojas don't work out, we got A.J. Hinch. He's my buddy. You know, to saying to whoever the next owner is. Because he's the one who made that trade for Diaz and Jed Lowry. And how's that looking right now? You gave up a lot for those two guys. And when I say you're okay, we know you were getting less than zero from Lowry because now you paid him. He did nothing, right? And Diaz did nothing, but you're hoping he can be better and give you something. And you're hoping that, like closers, you know, that they're up and down and this is an uptick for him to kind of figure it out in another year in New York, and the fact that he won't have people booing him and people looking at him, and maybe he can kind of figure it out. But if not, then you have to ask Brody, like, Brody, what do I really need you here for? And why would I want you to lead this team going forward? If I'm a new owner, I'm going to bring in my own people. So this is a big year for Brody, too. So I make sure Brody isn't being reckless and kind of going out there and trying to do whatever he got to do to try and get a meaningless win to get in the postseason so he can say they got in the postseason.
Exactly.
And it's really hollow.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to go out and waste the limited prospects that they have that you already dwindled down in that trade, then and you're trying to just get a wild card spot and maybe get one extra game in the year, how's that going to look to a new owner? I don't think terribly good, but, you know, a couple of observations. Number one, you're getting it now. You've been in it for a couple of years, and you're getting the Met fan mentality now.
You had
that look on your face that you were ready to get hurt again. Like you had put the past behind you.
Yep.
You had this relationship that you knew wasn't a good one for you, but you still went back to it. And yet here we are. And you're ready to get hurt again. And what's happened? We haven't even played a game yet, and you've gotten hurt.
Started with Syndergaard, and I was like, you know what? It's okay. We got depth, and we got Betances, and we got Familia. He lost a lot of weight. Everything with the Mets is an if. If this happens, if that happens, if. And like they used to tell me back in the hood in Detroit on the corners, when the guys be out there talking stuff, they say, if was a fifth, we'll all be drunk. And I'm drunk, and I am drunk off this Met juice because I said, if Cespedes comes back and he looks good, if Lowry gives us something, gives us nothing.
Well, remember.
We'll never see this dude again. This dude had the biggest knee brace. I mean, he had the old thumbs up. I mean, he had the old throwback 1980 Tommy Frazier knee brace on. He had the Dan Marino knee brace on, man. I mean, it wasn't even sleek, and he was carrying that thing like it was like it wasn't even attached to him.
Like he should have had a crutch.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, remember, talking about the depth, it wasn't all that long ago that the GM was talking about how great their depth was.
Yeah, come get us.
We're probably the deepest starting pitching rotation in baseball. We feel good about that.
I'm sorry, what?
Down three? Down yeah. Three?
And here's the other thing. To your point on Diaz. Bart, you know what, Diaz, when he lost me last year, was when somewhere in June, early July, I think it was, that he suggested that, yeah, maybe I'm not a New York guy. Maybe coming to New York wasn't necessarily a good thing to me.
Oh, he's Sonny
you know what
Gray.
That makes me
he's
think
Sonny,
of?
He's Sonny Gray.
It makes me think of Rocky in Rocky III. And after the first Clubber Lang fight. and he just looked like a beaten man. But I don't see him running on any beach with Apollo Creed and getting screamed at by Adrian. I don't see Diaz coming out of it and saying, "I'm afraid." And all of a sudden, he comes back, and the next thing you know, he's pulling Paulie into the pool and letting Clubber punch his way out of it. I don't see that happening here.
Yeah, me either, I don't feel good
about that.
Trade him to the Royals. He'll be an ace again. Ain't that something?
I'll tell you.
We all know everybody's not a New York guy.
Nope.
And we're hoping that he can fight his way out of it. We hope that the addition of Betances, who's had his ups and downs, has been through a lot, but that is from here. He's from here, so it's easy for him. He's been through it. He was born with it. He was part of it. But maybe they can rub off on Diaz. He's still a young guy. Betances has a lot of experience. He's a tremendous pitcher. He's a great asset for the Mets. He's got to pull Diaz over. Somebody has to get to him. If he can't get right between Betances and DeGrom, ain't going to get no right here.
Make sure that it doesn't throw us into some kind of tailspin.
Yeah. Tell you what, the Mets' ass is in the jackpot already.
I miss Mickey. Let's hit the calls, 800-919-3776. Spike in Jersey is going to start us off. Spike, what's going on, bud? What's up, dude?
How you doing, fellas? Two guys that have quotes attached to them, and I'm going to give you a third one. Bart, your quote we know is "Can't wait." And Colin, pandemonium and Piscataway's followed you. So I'm going to give an old Nelly for Keith Jackson today. This is how exciting this is. This is Christmas in July. I don't care what happens tonight as long as it doesn't get rained out. I really don't care. It's enough with the list already and the stories. It's time we all, our diehard sports fans, all deserve some live action. And as far as your argument, Bart, I'll take them both. Give me Gleyber Torres and give me Judge. You're right about, Judge offers a lot of charisma, his size. He's a great fielder. Torres is just quietly fantastic, and I think he's 4 or 5 years younger than him, if I'm correct.
He is.
Yep.
He's 23.
Yeah, 23? Yeah. Man, I got shoes older than that. Right. I'm telling you something. This is exciting as it could be under horrible conditions we're living in, and we can't forget about that. But we can for 3 or 4 hours tonight. I got a call from my stepson, who's a cop, and he's on vacation this week, and he says, "You know, if you parlay the Yankees with the Dodgers tonight with the over and the runs scored," I said, "Enjoy the game. It's the first game." You know, but anyway, he's a diehard fan. So I can't wait. I'd love to hear the menus for tonight. I really would like to hear what you guys plan, especially you, Colin.
I can't even believe I'm going to say this, Spike, and thanks for the call, is that I haven't even thought about what my menu is going to be tonight. That's a problem. You know, that's a problem. I've actually shed a little bit of weight off the old Queen Mary here, about 10 pounds worth, so we threw a deck chair over the side. But I got to, you know, maybe it's the cheat night, which is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh.
Well, we can call it Fat Tuesday. It's your Fat Tuesday moment. You get the band, and you know, it's okay. You know what I mean? It's celebration. It's opening day, man. I don't know. I might have to go out and maybe grill some hot dogs and do them different ways, Chicago style, Maxwell Street Polish, you know, get some Italian beef or something like that, and kind of just have me a little smorgasbord of different ways of eating potato bread.
I like it. Oh, the potato. I tell you what, I have, you know what I've done the last, I would say last month and a half,
yeah,
when we've cooked out, I've fell back in love with potato bread. That's not good.
Potato bread, my God. And pretzel bread. Oh.
I always thought pretzel bread would be too much. Like, it's just, it's going to be too hard. I don't need to complicate things with a burger, though.
It's so balanced.
Yeah, I know.
Tell you what, I almost stole some pretzel bread yesterday with the storm. I was in Wegmans.
You want pancakes?
And for one second, I thought about grabbing a bag and running out. But, you know, it's like, you know, it's, no.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, they got cameras.
I'd be lying if I said I hadn't done it, or it would be right there with you.
They show up in my house like, "Bart, we know it's you." Like,
Buster Olney, ESPN senior baseball writer, is with us. Buster, it's Chris and Bart here in New York City. And first things first, Buster, is it actually possible that by 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to have a 16-team playoff scenario as opposed to 10 teams?
It is.
They're talking about it now. There have been a couple of complications during the conversations. It's not 100% that it's going to get done, but the expectation is that it will. You know, there clearly is a lot of motivation on the part of Major League Baseball in a year in which they've lost a lot of money to put this format in place. Could wind up saving them, many tens of millions of dollars in terms of injected revenue. And like other things we're seeing this year, the universal DH, you know, the truncated extra effort to truncate extra innings, I think this is a preview into the future, an expanded playoff field. And one of the, you know, interesting twists in this, which I actually like, is that you would have a selection show in which the 1, 2, and 3 seeds, the division winners, would be able to pick their opponents among the other 5 teams. So, in other words, if the Yankees were the number one seed, they would get to choose among the 5 lowest seeds which team they would want to play. I personally love that.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Buster, that's sweet right there. I mean, I echo that. I mean, the fact – could you imagine the disdain and hate that would come from the fact that you pointed me out? Oh, you want me? It's like when you got to pick out somebody to fight in the schoolyard and you pick out the little guy and don't realize that he's a ninja.
Mark, can you – I was thinking about this. Can you imagine if that happened in the NFL and Belichick every year with the number one seed picking team, how that would make that team feel?
Yeah, like,
that would be fun.
Like, you want the Jets again? Come on, man, Bill. Just come on, man. Stop, Bill.
But I mean, that would add some intrigue to it. And that's the thing I want to know from it primarily, Buster. If that's how they're going to do it, does it work out better for a team like the Yankees, who we all expect to win 37, 38, 39 games and be there right in that discussion? Or does it actually work out to be a more difficult task for the teams that are near the top, even though they get to pick who they're playing?
Well, let's face it, and I don't know exactly what the format would be, but because of the limitations of the calendar, it looks like that first round would be best of three.
Yeah.
So you would have the Yankees and the Dodgers potentially these heavy favorites in the American League and National League, and you can pick all you want, and you can feel like you have an advantage, but it's baseball.
Yeah.
And any team can take two or three from any of the other teams. It would be interesting to see how it play out. I would say that, you know, going into any three-game series, you couldn't install any team as a heavy favorite.
Are we underestimating the path for the Yankees? We just assume that it's going to be the Yankees and it's going to be the Dodgers. But I feel like the Yankees have a different type of pressure because they can win and be successful, and it's going to be because they're supposed to. But I feel like they're going to be empty, joyless wins because until they get past the point where they've always gotten to, they can't even celebrate or begin to be happy.
I would agree with you if this was 1999 again and 2000. You know, I covered the Yankees from 98 to 2001. By the time they got to 2000, what you just described was exactly the case. Like the regular season got to be boring for that team because they had done it repeatedly. This group of guys has not. They haven't climbed the mountain yet. And I still think that they, you know, would enjoy the journey of dominating during the regular season. And let's face it, you know, this team is, Chris, I heard your lines going into it about how good they're going to be. This is how gutless I am. I for 2 weeks, beginning of summer camp, I was talking up the Rays. I'm going to pick the Rays. I get the Rays to win the World Series. And then I watched the Yankees and some of their inter-squad games and against the Mets. I'm like, yeah, I'm not stupid. I'm not picking against the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, that team is stacked. Oh, my God. They led the American League in runs scored last year. They lost Stanton and Judge for more than 200 games. They didn't have Miguel Andujar. One evaluator saying to me that he looks like Sammy Sosa to him with his swing these days. And you know, the one question I had going into spring training was their rotation. Well, you know, Tanaka, Paxton, Happ all look fine. And Jordan Montgomery.
Yes.
Good Lord. You know, Aaron Boone, who I used to work with at ESPN, he was talking him up in spring training. And Aaron's such a glass half full guy that in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, okay, Aaron, thanks. You know, I know. And now I'm watching it. Oh, my God, he was telling the truth. He looks unbelievable. So on paper, they're the best team that I've seen on paper since those late 90s Yankees teams.
Well, you say on paper, but on paper also is those Los Angeles Dodgers. And if you had to pick between, you know, a lineup, it's kind of hard not to pick the Dodgers. It's maybe a more talented version of the Yankees, maybe not with the depth at pitching.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Yankees lineup better in terms of firepower, total firepower. That's like trying to find a pimple on perfection in terms of looking at the Dodgers and saying, well, you know, Will Smith, their catcher, might not be as good offensively as Gary Sanchez. Chris Taylor, one of their regular guys, maybe he's not as good as Judge. Those are two great teams. The question that I mentioned about the Yankees is the same question I think this point would have about the Dodgers. You know, Kershaw, he's on the downside of his career, and so how quickly does that take form? Is he still going to be the guy? Walker Buehler is clearly, for all practical purposes, the ace. They have a lot of other talented young pitching, but that rotation is the question for me.
Buster Olney with us, Barton Hahn here on 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Buster, let's shift to the Mets for a minute. The Stroman news is obviously crippling, but if this expanded playoff actually comes down, it might give them a little bit of life, but at the same time, Bart made this point last hour. If you're a team like the Mets that's for sale and you're Brody Van Wagenen, and you've got this Cano trade hanging over your head, and you've got Jed Lowry hanging over your head, you're trying to prove to a new owner that you deserve to stay. Is there the danger of making a desperation move since we're only one month away just to get to that postseason?
And it's a great question. It's an interesting question. And I don't know, what his flexibility is going to be to actually get stuff done. Because we can, sit here and say, yes, the Mets could use some help in their rotation. But ultimately, Brody Van Wagenen is going to be either have his hands tied or not by their ownership. Will that sale? And I've seen this happen before, where a team sale is far down the road, and in the background, the next owner is giving the wink, wink, nod, nod to making a big deal and saying, "Yeah, I want to give us the best chance to get forward." Or is the Mets' stark financial situation currently going to have an impact on the moves that he makes? I'd say this. There are probably going to be fewer teams than we usually see in terms of being sellers. If you have a 16-team playoff field, there might be 20 teams that feel like they have a chance. So the pickings might be slim for the Mets to go through as they try to upgrade their team. I agree with you. I mean, this is such a tough loss for them. And let's face it, in a 60-game season, there's no such thing as a minor injury. And I've always thought of calf injuries for pitchers to be like those wrist injuries for hitters, where they can put a timeline on it. But until the pitcher's out on the mound and driving off his legs, you really don't know how he's going to be, how effective he's going to be when he comes back.
Now, I feel like in the midst of this conversation, the most disrespected team, maybe the defending champions, in the Nationals. And I know they lost Rendon, but with that pitching staff that they have, what are their chances to be a big player in this whole conversation?
And it's a great point. I really, there hasn't been a repeat champion since the Yankee teams from 98 to 2000, and we always talk about World Series hangover. Well, this year, there is no World Series hangover for that pitching staff. It's a 60-game sprint for older starters and Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and Patrick Corbin, and that helps, I think, their bullpen at the outset of this season with the addition of Will Harris. Daniel Hudson coming back is better than it was for a lot of last year. Here's my question, where's the firepower going to come from? They lost Anthony Rendon, who was there, regarded by a lot of players as the best pure hitter in baseball. He goes to the Angels. And now, as good as Juan Soto is, and his historical comparative is Ted Williams in terms of how good he is, but what's going to compel other teams to pitch to Juan Soto? Who are the guys around him? Maybe get on base in front of him or protect him from the back that's going to, keep that lineup up to snuff.
Buster Olney with us here on 98.7 ESPN. Buster, a couple more for you real quick. Number one, who really gets hurt the most in your estimation now that we've gotten through this spring training 2.0? Who gets hurt the most by this shortened season? What team do you think?
I'm going to feel like I'm punting on your question to some degree, but I really believe this to be the case. It's the team that gets the positive test of a star. And it's inevitable, guys. There's going to be that situation that pops up where we hear just before a game, hey, you know, this guy's not available. And what you're hearing from teams is that even players who are asymptomatic, generally speaking, you know, they're going off the field for 21 days. And just as we were saying with injuries, there's no minor situation like that. And there's no telling exactly who's going to be affected in that way. So, I, you know, that's the answer that pops to mind is which teams are going to get, you know, going to surprisingly lose a player out of the blue.
Now, you know, we were making fun like that, you know, the Houston Astros are going to get off easy because they don't have to face, you know, the crowds and opposing teams, crowd and fan base, you know, with the signs and with the, you know, the screams and yells and boos. But, man, if the signs, if the indication of what the Kansas City Royals did to them, you know, in that game, getting hit three times in a row, is how the other opposing teams are going to kind of get retribution. It can be a tough, frustrating season for them, and we've already heard them crying before the season even started, trying to get baseball to protect them.
Yeah, and I personally, when I, you know, just going back and reviewing the situations and making some phone calls, I do think the other day it was serendipitous, that it wasn't necessarily a case where they were going to get targeted. I do think that there are going to be situations during the year where you are going to have opposing players, opposing pitchers, who are going to take their shots. And I heard just enough anger from players with other teams, and understanding that during the course of this season, there are going to be situations, you know, two outs, nobody on base, fifth inning, no one's really watching, it's 8-2, boom. Somebody pays a price because the anger is real. You know, I know that the Astros, to some degree privately, kind of feel like that they, you know, that they've been picked on too much. And I know personally their Astros fans feel like that we focus too much on them. But it's pretty clear from reactions of players from Mike Trout to Kershaw to Sabathia that other players in baseball felt like they crossed the line. I don't think everyone's going to take it out on the field, but I think it's inevitable that somebody's going to.
All right, you're working the game tonight, correct, Buster?
I am working a game. I'm walking over there in about an hour and a half, yeah.
All right, so how's the forecast, Buster? I mean, it would be the most 2020 thing, wouldn't it?
It would be. You're 100% right. And last night, the thunder was booming around the ballpark. But I have access to the baseball's best weatherman, and that's Mike Trout, who's always helped me out on weather situation. And earlier today, and he truly, I'm sure you guys have seen the stories, he truly loves the weather. Yep. I would never ask him about his swing or contract stuff. I only text him about weather. I said, what do you got? And he said, should be good to go. Might have a storm pop up. Could be a little delay, but should be fine. Hard to predict storms in the summer. They are tricky. So that's what we're hearing from Mike Trout.
Is he a storm tracer?
He is.
He loves it. Yeah, I think the most animated I ever saw him in a conversation we had, I told him about a hotel that's made of ice. I want to say it's in Sweden. And he, or Norway, and he was so fired up, he went running off to get to see the website.
Wow. Awesome stuff, Buster. We appreciate it, as always.
I appreciate it, guys. Good to talk with you.
Buster will be part of the coverage tonight on ESPN. It is the return of baseball. Tune in. Opening night action. Aaron Judge and the Yankees visiting the defending champion Nationals, presented by GEICO. Coverage begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. And, of course, you can hear the game starting at 7 right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you say Gleyber Torres and the Yankees? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
I'm sorry. My mistake. I missed out on that. I'm just going off what the copy says, my friend. And I don't disagree with you. You know, I'm fascinated by the Yankees. And I know we all look at it, as we were talking about with Buster, like it's a massively foregone conclusion. But can you imagine if it does turn out that they expand these playoffs and they have that selection show? And the Yankees have to pick their opponent. Ooh. I mean, the chip on your shoulder that you begin with there to begin, ooh, it doesn't change the outcome necessarily, but boy, at least it adds the juice to it. Now, that I can get behind.
It's a three-game, is you talking about a three-game series?
Yep.
I mean, somebody can get hot. Somebody can just, you know, Tanaka can have that old hanging slider going on or something, and they get behind early, and it can be, ha, 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 pick us, we pick you. I mean, that would be fascinating. I think that's something, and just the type of juice that baseball needs.
And look, you can try that this kind of season.
Yeah,
okay. And listen, I don't love the fact that they've waited until the last minute to try to throw this together. To me, that's just silly. Just like I said, get the Blue Jays someplace to play. I don't care if you just have to go pick up a field that's somewhere in the middle of nowhere and just let them go play. I don't care if it's the place in Iowa. I don't care. Nobody cares where it is. Don't make them play every single game on the road. At least let them have a temporary home this year.
Can a brother be able to stay in one hotel for more than 5 days straight?
Exactly. Like, come on, man. I got to pack up every other day. Oh, I mean, you know what that's like anyway, but the travel that would be involved with that, that's not fair to them, for Pete's sake.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, they become a traveling hotspot. Nobody wants them.
Yeah, call Detroit. Detroit got plenty of room. They got
Anthony, we heard earlier they're going to play their first series at home, which is starting next Wednesday at Nationals Park. Is that correct? Okay, so that's our report that we know of right now. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But to me, I know you want to expand the playoffs. I think it's a good thing. I'm all about trying everything we can. I just wish we weren't trying to get it done by first pitch tonight. I mean, where were we for the last 3 weeks? We couldn't maybe, you know, mull over this idea and try to get them back to the table to talk about it?
Like everything in sports right now, Chris, is fluid.
It's fluid.
We're making it up as we go, baby. Nobody has the playbook.
You know, first of all, fluid's kind of a disgusting word to begin with, but it's now becoming my least favorite word. Like, you know, I mean, there's some bad words out there, but that's one that just to me, fluid now, for some reason, all it means is we don't have a plan. That's what fluid means. And I know that we are in a time where the plan is never going to be the plan. But at least have some contingencies in place. And by the way, on the Blue Jays front, it was Manfred who said earlier this year, well, if a team can't play in their home city, we'll have a contingency. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, dog ate his own work.
Can we get something done? Oh, my Lord. Who was?
Say can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. Oh, we got.
Oh, my Lord. Juan Soto, according to Jeff Passan, has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, right on cue.
Just as Buster said, a star player is going to test. It's inevitable.
21 days.
The Nats lose Juan Soto tonight. And so he's talking about 21 days. So what? It's 14 days right out of the gate.
Got to have negative tests, two of them.
And then you got to ramp back up, right, for a few days. I mean, that's a crusher for the Nats.
Now they got to do contact trades while everybody else is getting done, right? Man,
boy. Everybody's going to be lining up for more tests this afternoon in that clubhouse. And, you know, I was reading about it today. Bart, the real fear, Jeff Passan was talking about this a lot, that because there has been so much testing, and in some of these clubhouses there really hasn't been anybody that's testing positive, that players are becoming more and more comfortable with not wearing masks, with doing all that kind of stuff. Man, you losing a guy like Juan Soto, you throw that damn mask on. I don't care.
I'm showing up like Embiid showed up to the bubble. That's how I'm walking around. I'm in team meetings. I'm bubble boy. Don't talk to me.
Bart, it is time for some audio files.
The audio file.
Okay. First up, Jeff Passan. Yesterday, Mookie Betts getting 12 years, $365 million, and a $65 million signing bonus. Now, they're deferring $115 million of it, but still, you know, it's going to work out just fine. Like, $65 million signing bonus.
Good news, bad news. Good news is Mookie got his cheese. Bad news, Aaron Judge is going to want a $13 million contract, and he's already older than what Mookie Betts is, or they're about the same age, and he's going to hit it later. Now you're going to be talking about paying another big slugger that struggles with his health well into his 40s, and we just witnessed the bad part of A-Rod's contract. So good news, bad news. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be an unpopular decision, but if they're really talking about analytics and, you know, cost and value, you may not get Aaron Judge that type of money. And if you're going to do that, you may have to trade him to a place that will, because they need a star, like the Los Angeles Angels did for Albert Pujols.
Well, let's hear Jeff Passan on why it was the right thing to do.
The fact that he is going to get that much money in the pandemic when, as you guys know, baseball owners spent a lot of time talking this offseason about, talking after play was suspended about how much money that they're going to be losing. I believe that it was Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, who said the losses are going to be biblical. Mookie Betts is like in biblical times right now, getting fed grapes by people. And he has, he is the person who is ending up the best, maybe out of everyone in all of this. And it's what made it so shocking that even with the pandemic still raging on, the Dodgers believed that signing Mookie Betts to this mega deal was the right thing to do.
I got to tell you, I mean, 13 years overall when you include this year.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I wouldn't have done it.
But it took no guts to do that. I mean, do you want to trade for him, eat up David Price's money, and then let him walk away next year and only get him for 1 year? You had to do it. We already knew that he had to get the bag, and what he had turned down from the Red Sox the year before, we knew they had to give him the bag. So get him the bag now.
But after all of this and the fact that you don't know that you're going to have a cap beyond the end of next year, you're going to hand him 13 years, it could drastically change here.
It's the Dodgers. They print money. They print. They can pay him from portions of their local rate TV show.
I know Met fans are bummed out by this, that they're not going to get a shot at him. I don't think this is the worst thing in the world. I really don't.
And the Mets could go for a center fielder.
And besides, as you found out, he would tear his Achilles the first day he was there, getting up onto the podium. Here's Mike Tannenbaum, Golic and Wingo, his reaction, of course, the former Jet GM, to the Woody Johnson allegations.
Obviously, I was really surprised and disappointed if it's true, very serious allegation. But I could just tell you guys firsthand on years and years of working for Woody Johnson, the Johnson family, I never experienced any of those allegations that, again, are very serious. But based on my experience, I never saw any of that.
I know. You basically echo that sentiment, right?
Yeah, but it's interesting, right? Because I'm trying to, look from the outside in. The fact that if this is true, what does that mean, and how is the NFL going to appropriately handle this? Because he hasn't been in control of the team operations for the 4 years since he's been in administration, so I don't know how you really punish him other than making sure that he never gets control again. But that really doesn't change anything. But it puts a huge stain on the Jets, and it puts a huge stain on the Johnson family name, which I feel is more important, your family name, opposed to the organization in which you own. But it would be surprising. And once again, it would make the Jets not popular and be one of those places that's not cool, where maybe free agents say, you know what, it's going to take extra for me to go there because I don't know what they feel.
All right, so if it is all turned out to be true,
yeah,
and it's, just allegations at the moment, I think you're right. They're not going to let him back anywhere near the franchise, I would think, the league.
Right.
You can't hold that against the family, the team, and Christopher, though, his brother, though, right?
No, you can't. Listen, you're responsible for your own individual, and especially if those comments were made when he wasn't even in control of the team. Right, so then I don't understand how they can do that, but it does put a stain there, and it's going to force it's going to be a lot of relationships lost from Woody Johnson, from people that called him friend, if those were his words and those are his beliefs.
Marcus Spears on Get Up. on Aaron Rodgers and his time in Green Bay.
You telling me Aaron Rodgers been there this long and he's been the one and that's not underachieving? Russell Wilson been the two, even though he lost one.
Two.
And he shouldn't have lost that one if they handed the damn ball off to Marshawn Lynch. But he's been the two. Like, Carson Wentz, for all intents and purposes, has been to a Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes has almost been the two, had it not for being a guy lining up all sides. Come on, guys. One Super Bowl for Aaron Rodgers in all of these years is an underachievement.
I'm sorry. I'm not pinning this one on Aaron Rodgers. You know, is he my favorite? He's not. But what defense has Green Bay had with Aaron Rodgers for the majority of his career there?
No, I get that. I mean, they really haven't went out in free agency, and they just started last year and got him a defense. But they failed this offseason miserably to get him weapons. I mean, really? Yeah. Like, what the hell are they doing out there in Green Bay and trying to build around Aaron Rodgers, you know, being able to get his successor, I guess? But to me, it's still disappointing. Because if you're the baddest man in the planet, I mean, you can ask yourself how many players or defenses did Peyton Manning have? If you're a great player, you should always have your team in a running. And consistently, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been able to do that. You know, when you think about somebody that's going to take all the cheese on the taco and not share it with everybody else, then he has to account for more than one player. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it is shocking that, man, you like Aaron Rodgers hasn't been to more than one Super Bowl. You look at guys like Ben Roethlisberger, but you also look at guys like Peyton Manning that didn't have the supporting cast. I can't name any lineman from Peyton Manning. I can name some receivers, but, you know, the best defender that he ever had was, you know, maybe Dwight Freeney and Bob Sanders for 1 year, but he didn't have a talented defense or team that was in the top 20 in defense.
All right, last one.
Okay.
And you love this. Iron Mike Tyson this morning. On Get Up, or excuse me, on First Take. Big announcement.
I'm starting this new league called Legends Only League. It starts September 12th in Los Angeles, and it will be announced soon. And it's going to be like a three-hour event with a special performance to be announced really soon. And it's going to be watched on pay-per-view on Triller platform. 8 rounds exhibition called Frontline Battle. Me and Roy Jones. It's just going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it. I started this league, Legends Only. I was watching this insight about Jerry Rice, and at his age right now, he's amazingly fast and can still perform. And I'm saying, why can't he and another 5 or 6 people play another quarterback and his 5 or 6 people, and why can't we have a game of Legends playing? And I said that should be him, because these guys are still exciting.
Mike, you don't get punched in the face in football. And if Jerry Rice is playing, it's going to be 7-on-7. And ain't nobody going to hurt nobody, Mike. Roy Jones is going to be trying to punch you. I don't know if you're going to put on headgear, but the fact that Mike, you know, how great is it to be Mike Tyson? You can have an idea, and people will bankroll whatever idea you want to do. He can't
he's
miss right now.
He's fighting a shark this week.
Yeah. He can't. Listen, he's batting 1,000 because people just love him as a person, and I think they grew to love him later. He's an A-Rod of baseball. They hated him, and now they love him all over again. And the fact that he can do this, I mean, he had this marijuana thing that people back. You know Mike didn't put his own money up there like that. He had the huge marijuana farm. It's good to be Mike Tyson. Fighting Roy Jones is a better matchup because they're about the same height, and the fact that, you know, Roy Jones can't physically hurt him because Mike is used to being hit by bigger men, so he should be able to take those punches better, which means that the fight should go longer, which means that it's going to come down to two old people in their cardio, which can be funny because you can see a guy go down like when Muhammad Ali fought George Foreman, yep. Where it wasn't that he was hurt, it's that he was so tired there was no oxygen to put in his lungs to make himself get up. So you can see some old people saying, I've fallen and I can't get up. And you see that the fact that they're not hurt is just hilarious to me, but it's going to be great because you know who's coming out next. Bernard Hopkins is going to say, I want some of that action. And then you're going to get a guy like James Toney, who I feel is the funniest dude ever, to come out, and then you know Let's Go Champ is coming and Shannon Briggs. So you got a nice roster of people that you can already imagine will want some of that smoke. This is the big three for boxing. For football, I don't know. Old people just don't want to, you know, get old. They still want to compete, and this is an opportunity for them to do that. And if Mike Tyson can handle the fall off the hoverboard, he can handle a hook or uppercut from Roy Jones, I'm sure.
Yeah, then we got this problem, though. Like, I was on board until I saw who's on the undercard.
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready. I already know, but I'm ready.
I wanted to show that I'm a world-class athlete. I played college football, played in the NBA for 11 years, and I'm excited.
My favorite
for this
dude.
Venture into the sport of boxing.
Yes.
Nate Robinson is taking on, by the way, Jake Paul, a YouTube star.
Before we go there, before you discredit Jake Paul like I did because my daughter watched him on YouTube, all this stuff, he fought two real fights against a DJ. This dude was shredded. This dude fought for 8 rounds, and he threw punches, and he was in shape. So to see Nate go down, Nate is in a bad predicament because he's going against a YouTuber. He's a professional athlete, and if he gets beat, not only by a YouTuber, but a white guy, he gonna lose all his street cred.
What happened? Screech wasn't available? I mean, come on.
Hey, man.
We're turning this into those celebrity boxing matches.
Bro, it's a celebrity death match. But I tell you what, man.
I'd rather watch the claymation.
Hey, but on the real, Jake Paul represented himself well in two fights.
Okay.
I mean, it was a. You need to watch it. It was a good fight.
Now that you're trying to sell me on it, I feel like you're getting a piece of this, and I don't know about it.
No, man, I just know. I kind of discredited Jake Paul. He was shredded. He's in shape. He's a big dude too. He's like 6'2". And he was in shape. He fought. Anybody that ever watched Refrigerator Perry Manute Bol fight in that, what's that that fighting thing they used to have?
Yeah, it was celebrity boxing. Yeah,
no,
like
no,
they used to put it on Fox.
Yeah, it was something else. Like, oh, it was a minute fight, man. And when I watched Bob Sapp beat the hell out of Refrigerator Perry, had plumber booty, people get a real appreciation of what it's like to fight for not even a minute around. These guys are going to go three. This is going to be entertaining, man. And Nate is in trouble, man. If Nate gets knocked out or gets knocked down by a YouTuber, his podcast is going to be canceled, and he's going to get canceled by cancel culture because so many people are going to be disappointed in the fact that he lost to a white YouTuber.
I love the fact that you are trying to break this down like it's the next Mayweather fight. I love
Hey, you remember the Great White Hype with Damian Wayans?
Oh,
and it's gonna be people moving up. I like to bet $2 on a clean cut white guy. It's gonna be that type of division. You're gonna have the hood over here with Nate. And if Nate lose and embarrass the hood, we think we going to Sizzlers and you lose to Billy Hoyle out here on the beach because you talking all this smoke like you a gangster, you a thug. Not every black person think they a thug. They gonna win automatically because they from the hood and they be puffing their chest up and they be talking. See, black people will fake you out like they can fight. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of them can't fight. But they be like, "Yeah, man, whatever. Oh, let's do it. Let's break it down." Oh man, you really want to fight? Oh man, hold up, man. Let me talk to you, dog. So like, listen, Jake Paul about that smoke a little bit. He ain't afraid because he's fought, and the dude he fought was black too. So he got past that twice. I'm intrigued.
That's audio files.
Then cut the music like, bro, you're going to get yourself in trouble talking all this white-black stuff. I'm just telling you what people be saying for real.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.